Hey there, it's Vicky here from Online Marketing Basics for Busy Website Owners, and welcome to this episode of the podcast where I put on my cone of shame and tell you all about the time that my website got hacked and what I could have done to avoid it getting hacked and what you can learn from my hacking to ensure that your website never gets hacked. As usual, there's going to be lots of tips and tricks in this. So grab a pen, grab a paper, grab your note app, whatever you need, and I'll see you in a sec. I'm Vicky Jakes, and in this podcast, I'm aiming to bring you no-nonsense advice on how to drive more traffic to your small business website so that you can start making more money. It will be packed full of hints and tips, jargon free, and a chance for us to geek out together on a weekly basis. So let's crack on with this week's episode. Hi there, it's Vicky here, and welcome to this episode of the podcast, which I don't know, you're going to find out as you listen to this, but I was a bit worried about talking about this particular subject, only because I spent years working in the website build world, and you would have thought that I'd get to this point in my life after having built websites for 20 plus years that I could avoid getting hacked. But last year in 2020, I woke up one morning to go and log on to my website. It's my website, heyvickyjakes.com, which houses all of my blog content and all of my podcast content as well. So it's a really important marketing tool and resource tool for me and my audience, right? And you might be listening to this episode from that site right now. And I logged on about 9:30 in the morning and was greeted with a Canadian Viagra website. It definitely wasn't there the night before. And just as I was looking at my site, a couple of messages started to come in from well-meaning friends and people in my membership who asked me if they knew that my site now looked like a Viagra marketplace. Of course I knew, and I was grateful that they got in touch. But the first thing that I thought of was, what have I done? What could I have possibly done to cause this? Because, right, dear listener, it's so true, after having seen this happen to other people over the years, that for all the will in the world, it's normally something we've overlooked, a password we've left out in the open, a thing that hasn't been updated, a miscommunication that results in sites being hacked. When you have the infrastructure in place around your website, most of the time, your website's going to be okay. I have seen some absolutely horrendous DDoS attacks on websites, like big corporate commercial websites that, took thousands of pounds every hour in fees, sustain attacks like that. They're often called distributed denial of service attacks, and essentially it's like lots of traffic being sent to a site to overwhelm it and make it fall over. I've seen attacks like that on sites, and they've still been able to kind of withstand being attacked and hacked. But the truth is that I, like many other people, had fallen into the trap of forgetting to update something on my website. Now, this website was a website that I had set up on. I created a brand new website right, on the same hosting account as my Hey Vicky Jakes website. And because I think with the account I've got, you can have like up to three websites hosted on the same hosting account. So I was playing around with the idea of creating my own membership website last year. And if you listen to this podcast, you know I eventually went on to do that with bells on. But I initially just created a test site to have a play around with. And I thought, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with my membership site, whether it was going to have like the same domain name, so it would have made sense to have it on the same hosting account, you know, like with a subdomain. I just wanted to play around with MemberPress as a plugin and, you know, like try and test its vulnerabilities and like play around with some settings. So I set up this test site on the same hosting account, and then I forgot about it. I just plain forgot about it, right? So it had been left without the version of WordPress being updated, probably for about 2 months, and the plugins that had been installed on there not being updated. But crucially, there are some settings within the WordPress admin that I hadn't updated when I first installed WordPress onto the site to play around with it. And so if there was some area on the site where a user could set up an account, which is often when someone comments on a blog post, they've got a user account, like they've got a way of like signing up and being able to log into your site, not into the admin, but just as a user to leave a comment. Well, I'd left, I'm so annoyed at myself about this. I'd left the Hello World blog post on the site when it had been installed. And if you're wondering what this is, right, is when WordPress is installed for the first time on a server, it comes with some inbuilt dummy content. There's typically a plugin called Hello Dolly, which is installed just to show you that you can install a plugin to your WordPress site. And then there's a dummy blog post as well, and it just simply says Hello World. and it's usually a post that I would delete as soon as I'd installed WordPress for my clients. But because this site was for me, I totally forgot about it. So the Hello World post was just hanging out on this test site. And someone was able to find the site, leave a comment, and create an account. Well, that was the night before I woke up to finding that my site had become a Canadian Vihegra marketplace. And it was the night I had decided to switch. It was a weeknight, and I decided to switch off my email notifications. I wanted a night off. So I didn't see an email land in my inbox from the WordFence plugin that I have installed. And WordFence is a type of firewall application, what's known as a WAF, and it protects your site essentially from like online threats. It's a web application firewall, right? So it monitors the traffic that comes to your site. It blocks any suspicious looking traffic, looking IPs, and it filters traffic, right? And if someone signs up for an account, it will ping you and let you know. And if someone tries to sign in and that login fails because they're trying to guess like the password of your site, you'll get notified about that as well, and it will lock people out. So it's a great plugin, but it's no good if you don't get notified. So I totally missed that first step, that first warning sign, that someone had found my site and then had managed to find a way in. And the test site had a domain pointed at it. You know, it was available out on the web if enough crawlers were out trying to find it. So, you know, I'd been really naive here in not going back and firstly, like, removing this dummy content, but also just not keeping the version of WordPress updated as well. Because that version of WordPress was outdated. A few of the plugins that were installed were outdated and the theme was outdated. So this just meant there was loads of code not running on the latest version. And that leaves you vulnerable to people being able to get in to the server side of your WordPress site, as I found out. Right, because they managed to inject some code into the site that pretty much pavemented over like the source files on my site folder on the server side. I couldn't even roll back. There was no site to roll back to. Everything had been trashed. The next thing I did as soon as I saw like this hacked site was I went straight to my hosting account and logged in. And once I'd logged in, I saw a message pop up that said that they'd actually disabled the account because they had seen malicious traffic and kind of malicious code on the hosting account. So that meant my main site and this test site had both been shut down. Looking at the site folders, the test site had been fully trashed, and then they'd been able to get into my main site, heyvickyjakes.com, because the sites were on the same hosting account, you know. So if you were able to get into the site folder of one, you were able to get into the site folder of another. Oh, it's so annoying. So I had to say to the host that I would try and find the code and remove it. So I logged in and looked at the site files. I'm just not that great at looking at the sort of FTP site files level of websites these days. I used to code. I used to be really comfortable doing all of that. But, I'm not quite sure what I was looking at. And I wasn't able to use any kind of front end tools that I'd be usually used to using, like WordFence, for example, to find malicious code. So, there was just one thing for it. It was to call my very good friend Naveed, who is a great WordPress developer that I've been working with on and off for the past couple of years, who was able to log into my hosting account, go to the site files, remove any malicious looking code, and then start the painstaking process of rebuilding my site. It wasn't that painstaking though, thankfully, because I did have a backup of my site and those backup files were still available on the server, thankfully. And I backup my site every single week. I do a scheduled backup, so I don't have to think about it. And this new test site, I'd set to do a backup of that as well. So at least like that habit is in place with me. I remember to do that at the very least. But when you look at my main site, heyvickyjakes.com, it is looked after incredibly well, right? I keep it updated regularly. I run the WordFence WAF, web application firewall on there. I also have a plugin installed that makes sure users, a capture plugin that makes sure users say that they're not a robot. My password is very secure. I store my passwords in a password, a third-party password vault. so it's not written down. No one can just find it and log in that way. I think I'm pretty good usually with keeping sites updated. It's just because I purely have forgotten that there was this other bad Apple site sitting on the server, and that's how those hackers got in, basically, and managed to trash my main site. It got back online within a few hours, and then I had to raise a ticket with my host and tell them that we'd cleaned up all of the code, because it's not their responsibility, right? And they don't have to host your site if you've got like malicious looking code on your hosting account. It's totally within their rights. So you have to prove that you've done it. They'll do a scan, and then they brought my site back online, thankfully. So, like, lessons learned, right? Lessons learned is I do not set up test sites on the same hosting account as websites now. Not at all. Like, not even staging sites. It's just too, it's too risky. The type of hosting that I buy is like cloud hosting, usually. So there's lots of websites all, you know, via the hosting company, all hosted on the kind of same server together, and they're partitioned away from each other. But, you know, I've gone one step further over the past couple of years of actually, like, if I create a new website for a new business venture, or you know, do it for on behalf of a client, every single site's got its own hosting account. So at least it's in its own like little bit of partition, if that makes sense. It's very risky having three sites on the same hosting account, because as you've just heard, and we have discovered with my faux pas, if one site gets infected, they're all vulnerable. And back in the old days, working with big clients, you know, this is something that we certainly wouldn't have encouraged either. Like any staging sites, like test sites, where we were creating like the site for a client prior to it going live, would be hosted with our server at the agency. And then when the site's ready, we would transfer those files over to the client's live hosting account. So, it feels a bit mad that I was deciding to set a test site up on the same hosting account. What can you learn from listening to this story so that you don't wake up tomorrow with Viagra was pretty funny. I got to have a laugh about it on social media with my friends. Lots of puns, ahoy. But, you know, it could be something a bit more sinister. Typically you tend to see Forex trading, Bitcoin these days, pharmaceutical websites, affiliate websites, spam affiliate websites. But, you know, it could be something more sinister, maybe possibly even porn, which would be awful for your reputation, right? If your site, you know, got hacked and someone saw something triple X rated when like they went to your site. So what can you learn? Just keep your site thoroughly updated on an ongoing basis, right? If it's a WordPress website, WordPress is one of the most infected website platforms out there on the World Wide Web. I've got stats from as early as like 2018 here, where WordPress takes up 90% of all infected websites from one particular security plugin that monitored sites that year. It's insane. And the reason is, right, it's because it's easier to find those vulnerabilities in WordPress websites, right, because it comes installed with, that dummy content that people forget to delete. Like me, it comes installed with settings that you got to uncheck, like a user can create an account automatically. Plugins are built by third-party developers, right? WordPress is built by a massive community. Now, the WordPress core itself is pretty secure. It's usually plugins that mess everything up and make the site go, make your site either fall over or become vulnerable. Because plugins are built by third-party developers, and if they're not keeping up with the recent version of like the WordPress core code, they provide like the way in, essentially. Plugins in particular, right, can contribute to 52% of WordPress vulnerabilities, apparently. So if you don't have the latest version of a plugin installed, your site's going to be vulnerable. So keep your plugins updated, keep your theme updated, keep your WordPress version updated, right? And if you can, try and host different websites on different hosting accounts, maybe with the same provider, but it just means that you're not giving hackers a chance to daisy chain between each of your sites. And while we're talking about what your host can provide, talk to them and see if, well, firstly, like if we're talking about keeping things updated, make sure your PHP version is updated, like the code that, you know, your entire site actually sits on and is processed with. And if they can offer any security services as well, like do they offer their own web application firewall service? Can they back your site up for you regularly? Do they have a rollback service or a security service that you can buy into? A lot of web hosting companies do, and it's well worth thinking about that investment, especially if your site's transactional. If your site goes down for many hours, how much money could you lose? And I would then offset that cost against what would happen if your site couldn't get back online, right? This is a no-brainer, right? But please don't write your passwords down where other people can see them, right? Vulnerabilities are one thing, but social hacking, where people ring up and ask you for your password and you hand it over, or they find it because you've written it down, is another way that hackers are able to get into your site. You know, you need to treat your website with the same respect that you treat your bank account, right? And have a two-factor authentication login. Have a password that can't be easily repeated. Save that password in a password vault. And your username shouldn't be admin or your website name, like something people can guess. Back in the old days, when you installed WordPress for the very first time, it would come with the standard username and password of admin password. So when you were just like starting out creating a site for a client, you wouldn't have to remember how to get into that site. And then later you'd create new users and change the usernames and passwords. But everyone knew that. Everyone knew that's how you could get into a site. And you could, and also as well with WordPress, there's one particular link that you can use to log into someone's site. Is you go to your site URL and go /wp-admin, or you can go /wp-login.php. And these are two ways to find the WordPress login screen. Again, everyone knew that. So you could, I've done this before where I've gone to find big sites that I knew were built with WordPress and found their login screens. But hackers are doing this like at scale, right? They're not doing it for fun like I was to see, oh, is this a WordPress site or not? They were going there to then start a process of trying to guess the username and password, and everyone would always start with admin pass or admin password, whatever it used to be. So if you've only changed the password of your new WordPress installation, so your admin and then your password, the hackers only have to then guess your password, right? So you can make it doubly hard by making sure they need to guess your username as well. So if you can have a unique username and a unique password, and both of those are stored away from your site in some type of password vault, I use LastPass, which is amazing because it syncs my passwords across my phone. So it has to use facial recognition for me to access it. And then it also works on Chrome as a plugin as well. So I can go to any website on my Mac and not have to remember the password and just use the plugin to sign in. You only have to remember one password, and that's your last password. And yeah, it's an absolute godsend. I still know people. There are people in my membership recently who were like, I've got all my passwords written in a little book. You know, it is what it is, right? But if you are getting to a place where your business is, you know, making cash, your website's making that cash for you, again, you've got to treat it with the respect that it needs, right? You've got to make sure people can't get in and take that website offline. And part of that is making sure that your password and your username is protected. That said, it's never, you know, you could have the most complicated username and password in the world, but there are people who are still going to go to that /WPAdmin URL and try and log in. And so I'd highly recommend as well is utilizing a plugin or, you know, getting someone, if someone will look after your site for you, to create a unique login URL. So if hackers did try to go to WP-admin, they're just like, it'd be like page not found. I have a custom URL for logging in, and it's just brought down significantly the amount of notifications that I get about random users trying to log into my site. So it just sounds like really basic things, but you know, just ensuring that your WordPress version, plugin themes, PHP version is updated regularly. Talking to your host and seeing what services they have to help you should you get hacked. Making sure that your login details are secure and safe, and that you've done everything possible to make it difficult to find your site and log into your site is a good starting point to ensure that your site remains secure. Hopefully this like episode hasn't scared you or made you feel like out of your depth with the security of your website. It's just basic stuff, really, and it can happen to anyone. It's happened to me, right? I've seen plenty of hackings over the years, and in particular, one was from a developer who'd actually created a website for our client, an agency, and he'd built in a kill switch into the website. So if he was aggrieved in any way or his payment was late, he would just take the entire website offline. Like that sort of thing is horrific, right? Absolutely horrific. Like I mentioned earlier on in the episode, I've seen, you know, full-scale DDoS attacks on sites. I've heard about sites getting hacked because of a password that was taped to the bottom of the keyboard in view of everyone. I mean, you know, like this isn't going anywhere. And I think you need to just move with the times and just make sure that the fundamentals are covered. Like I said, it happened to me. I've chalked it up to experience. I've created some content out of it, and I'm talking about it now with the hope that I could give you inspiration just to check these few things that I've mentioned in the episode to ensure that you don't wake up one morning and everyone thinks that your career has taken a change for the worst, peddling out illegal pharmaceutical drugs. Oh dear, I just don't think I'll live it down. I'm almost there, but I don't think I'll live it down. Thanks again for listening, and if you want some more advice about this, I have written a full blog post over on heyvickyjakes.com. I'll put the link in the show notes, that covers all the things that I do to keep my site maintained and secure. Do run through those and just make sure that you're doing them to your own site as well. Please get in touch if you want some further help about ensuring that your site stays maintained on a regular basis. I actually do offer a maintenance service with Naveed to my clients, and I'd be delighted to chat to you if you wanted some third-party help in keeping your site maintained and secure as well. So I'll make sure I put a link to that in the show notes as well. If you enjoyed the episode, please let me know in the comments of the episode post over on heyvickyjakes.com, or go and even leave a review over on iTunes, because it makes me very happy. And also, it just lets other people know that you found this content useful and gets us moving on up the charts. Okay, thanks so much for listening. I'll see you in next week's episode.